This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Babs Gray, and I saw a teen girl wearing a BB tank top and a studded belt, and it just made me feel like everything was going to be okay.
Oh, bless it. I love it. Oh, I was getting nostalgic as you were reading
it felt
that.
So good.
Yes. I'm Brandy Posey, and God help me, I like a shirt that says leg day.
I'm Tess Barker, and fuck my life. I ran out of menial chores to complete, and now I have to work on the project I'm actually passionate about.
Oh, worst.
We know that one. Ugh.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
Hello! We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course, Big Tess. We got a show for everyone that's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Ladies and ladies, ladies and ladies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. 10 years of us talking into this microphone, and we're going for how many more? 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, easily.
Easily.
Yeah, the year will be 2021. That's last year.
We're going back in time.
21, we'll be, when time travel was invented, we'll go back and we'll redo some of the episodes.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let's do that.
We'll do it like the rehearsal style, like Nathan Fielder, and we'll memorize the entire episode and then...
Oh my God, we'll make recreations of David's old house?
Yes, absolutely.
I would actually love that.
That would be very fun.
Be super cute. But in the present, right now, the three of us are going to be out and about of LA for a little bit. I think we're all going to be in the Pacific Northwest in September. I've got a bunch of shows from the 14th to the 25th. I just want to highlight that I'm headlining at the Infinity Room in Salem on Thursday, the 22nd of September. So if you want to see me do a long set, that's where it's going to be, and it's going to be real fun. And then all my other dates are brandyposey.com.
So I'm there October 17th through the 21st. I'm doing all kinds of fun shows pretty much all week in Portland. And then that Friday, I'm headlining in Eugene, October 21st. All the details will be up on our socials. You can see where to get tickets and show times and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, and we're all like taking different turns. And
yeah.
I'll be there right after Brandy in September, and I'm still booking stuff, but I'm definitely on Faded on September 29th. So, yeah, go check us out if you're in the Pacific Northwest. We obviously love to see people in real life come out to shows. And I will I'll be in New York in October doing a bunch of shows the 11th through the 17th. So come on out, y'all.
Come see us in 3D.
Yay.
Always
is it 3D or is it 4D? It's 3D.
Oh.
I think it's 3D in person.
Isn't the fourth dimension time or something or love?
I just wasn't sure because I was like, if they say 3D glasses, but like, I guess, I don't know. I just feel like that's still a step.
How many dimensions do we live in?
Let's come see us in fourth meal, I think.
We definitely have fourth meal. Yeah.
Yeah. Come see us in fourth meal. That is much appreciated. and our guest today is also on the road. If you like going to go see live music, she's amazing. She's the lead singer of a band called Cat Bite. They're out of Philadelphia. They're a ska band. I love them very much. They have a new album that came out in 2021 called Nice One, and they have a brand new single called Everybody Talks that is out now. Enjoy our conversation with Brittany Luna from Cat Bite.
Oh my gosh. Oh, sorry. Okay.
You know what's funny? That just happened, and then my roommate's cat just ran past my dog who was sleeping, and now he's being chased into my room.
Cat and dog hijinks.
As if they could hear and be like, oh, is there chaos happening somewhere else? How about we hop into it too?
Yeah, I just heard like a low growling, and I look over and my cat is just like huddled down and like his ears are down, and then my dog's back hairs are up, and I'm like, oh.
the ears down is never good. Like, yeah, some shit's going down. Cats and dogs, they really like to lean into their stereotypes.
Oh, yes. They really do. We have three cats in total, and two of them are girls, and the one boy that we have is the only one that my dog like wants to fuck up all the time.
Yeah.
And I think because our dog is a male too, so he just is like wants nothing to do with him and just wants to like,
yeah,
get him.
Too many dicks in the house.
It's more of a boy. Yeah. It's more of a boy problem issue than a cat dog divide.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. But it's like scary. I'm like, my dog is a pity, and like, he's a strong boy. So I'm like, don't go near him, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have my neighborhood kitty who I've befriended. Like, he'll come over and like just be all cute at my house, but my husband won't let me have a cat. So I befriended that one. And my dogs, whenever I walk them, they're just like these oblivious doofuses, like, and then I'll see the cat, like, always like a couple houses away, just like hatefully staring at them. Like,
it's like they get to come inside at night. How dare they?
Yeah. I wish my cats were like more. Luckily, they're like very nice to each other and like don't really fight, so that's great that there's not like cats fighting all the time. But like, I kind of wish that they would be like not scared of my dog and just like fuck him up and like scratch him so that he would be more afraid, but they won't do that. So
maybe you need to dress up like a cat, like from the 80s musical.
yeah
that might do the trick.
Yeah, cat solidarity. One day he turns around and everybody in the house is a cat. He's like, oh, fuck
yeah. Then he'll learn his lesson, hopefully.
Yeah.
Now he's just licking the dresser, so all is well.
I get that. Sometimes a dog will just like lick a part of my jeans a lot, and I'm like, I don't remember spilling food on that, like, like on my leg or something. And I'm like,
you really can't think too much about why they're into what they're into.
Yeah.
It's just like, you do you.
And it's best not to think about what lies in jeans.
Yeah.
That is really true. I've never been grossed out by it, but now I am. So thank you. Oh man, I have. Okay, so we've been like getting a little bit of work done, like handyman shit around the house, just because our house is old, and it's like one of those things where every time you try to fix one thing, there's like a million other things that are wrong, you know?
Yeah.
So this handyman has been like, he's at the house like all day, and he's very sweet, but like, you know, he was literally at our house 4 days in a row this weekend.
Wow.
Like all day. Yeah. And so we realized, so for my birthday, someone got me a waterproof notepad that you can put up in your shower.
Fun.
Okay.
Genius idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I haven't had a lot of ideas, but we've been leaving like sexy notes to each other, me and my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we realized that he fixed our something in our shower, and we're like, oh my God, he like completely saw this note. And it's just, I'm just like, oh, I don't even want to like think about it. Like, I had I'd drawn a dick with jizz coming out of it, and like, and I had written some Prince lyrics that I thought that are kind of horny. And then I think my boyfriend thought they were mine. He was like, wow, damn. And I'm like, that's not my original material. But anyway.
Did the handyman leave you a note?
I know. He should have hopped in.
You know what? Honestly, I know he saw it. And then like, because he like comments on everything, and he didn't comment on that. So I know he saw it.
You know definitely what I mean? Saw it. Yeah.
Well.
That's what you get for horny notepads.
A happy, horny relationship, you know?
Yeah. Maybe write one to him next time and be like, hey. Be like,
Alex, I know what you saw.
Imagine opening a shower and seeing your name written inside of it in somebody else's home. A horror movie.
Terrifying.
That's hopefully the closest I ever get to a horror movie. Yeah, to being in one.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, Brittany, you've been on the road a bunch.
Yeah, so we were on a tour for the entire month of June. We were opening for Jeff Rosenstock. And it was really, really cool. That's like the longest tour we've really ever done. We were like gearing up to really start touring in 2020, like that same weekend when everything, you know, was fucked. We were supposed to be in Canada. And then we were also going to do Japan the end of that year. So like everything just kind of like stopped. And up until that point, we really hadn't toured very much at all. We did like just kind of weekend things. So yeah, that in June was like the longest tour we've done. And it was so cool. We went to the Pacific Northwest, which we've never been. I've never been personally. And also as a band, I've never been out that way. So it was
so pretty there.
Great. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like a whole, like we ended the tour in Salt Lake City and it felt like I was on like another planet. It was crazy.
Dabs is from Salt Lake.
I'm from Salt Lake, so I can confirm it is like another planet.
Yeah. We went to the, you know, the Salt Lake and like looking around and the mountains are like in the background, like all over the place. Plus the lake is just like crazy looking itself. Like it was surreal. It was really cool.
Where did you perform in Salt Lake?
We performed at.
It's okay if you don't. Yeah, I'm sure after that many venues, you're just like, I don't even. It's all blending together.
I can't think of it, but if I do, I'll let you know.
It's all good. Don't worry about it. How are you? Like exhausted? Like I feel like I don't have like hardcore touring in my bones anymore because I'm just like old and tired. But like, how did you feel?
I definitely felt tired, but I like, that's something I've always wanted to do. So I was like, I felt like energized by it, I think. And then like we got home and I was just like super depressed because we weren't on tour anymore.
The post-tour depression is real.
It was so bad. I was like extremely depressed and I'm already like a depressed person and like take medication and shit. But like, I was just like, damn, this sucks really bad.
Yeah. When you're like doing something, we're really on the go like that. And then you have nothing. It's really tough. What do I do with my day? I don't know.
It's a real needle off the record player moment.
Sure.
It wasn't fun. And like going back to work, which I do love my job. I work at like a bar restaurant and I really enjoy like working there and I love all the people that I work with. But you know, my manager's being like, oh, we're so happy you're back. And me being like, yeah, me too.
Yeah. I was just living. It's so hard because you go from like living your dream for a month and just crushing it and being like, this is what everything has been working towards. And then you're like, how would you like your eggs? And then it's like the people that you haven't seen for a month. It's like, I've fundamentally changed so much and I've finally done all those things and you just haven't seen me for a month. And I'm like, I'm different now, man.
Yeah.
I remember that's how I felt when I was working. I was working at Hollywood Reporter for like years doing graphic design. And I felt like, I was not a superhero and I know that, but that's what it felt like. I was living a double life, you know, because I would just be like there doing my little work and then I would slip out at night and like be doing all this comedy shit that like no one knew anything about at this job. So it just felt very like, I'm not the person who you think I am. Cause I was so quiet. Much. I was like so different at that job.
Yeah, I feel that way too, because like, you know, like I get to be out performing and I'm kind of just like, I'm definitely a different person than, you know, who I am behind the bar. I mean, I still am like kind of putting on a performance at the bar because I'm trying to like,
you know, get them tips. Yeah,
get them tips. And I mean, I don't know. I like talking to people too. So, but it's definitely different.
Yeah. What's your favorite drink to make? Or do you have a favorite shot to make?
We do like a house shot at our bar that is 50/50 Chinar and Evan Williams, which is really good.
Wait, what's Chinar? Yeah, I don't know what Chinar? That is.
It's a liqueur that's made out of artichoke.
Oh,
and it's like very. It's like sweet.
I just did the like kombucha gif. I was like.
It's sweet but like still really herbally, and then mixed with Evan Williams, it's like the easiest thing to go down. It's crazy. It's like juice.
A nice artichoke dangerous. Juice. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, that's what I love about alcohol. We could really take anything and make it into booze.
It's so true.
Like artichoke, sure.
Okie dokie, artichokey.
I love that.
Like again, potatoes, how versatile, vodka or hash browns.
God. Right.
Truly.
French fries.
Truly the carbon of foods.
I love
it. Did you guys ever have a potato clock?
Oh, yeah. Did you like make in class? I never made one, no.
Yeah,
oh,
because they are dope.
Because they have power. Electricity, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's like electricity and potatoes.
I never did that ever, but that's amazing.
Isn't that cool?
I know there's a potato gun. I never had one, but that's like you can shoot potatoes.
Yeah. My brother had an insane potato gun.
Like a t-shirt gun, but shooting out potatoes?
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. Like a small cannon.
I would call it potato.
Is it? Yeah, it's not full potatoes, right?
It's full potatoes.
Yeah. Yeah. You just pop them on the end of it, and like the pressure just launches them.
Yeah.
Truly insane.
I actually think we should encourage more potato gun use amongst the gun crowd.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, if you must, I mean, as someone who has shot potato guns, like, I feel like you still get that, like, powerful feeling of, like, oh, I just shot something, but it's just a potato.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's like you're potentially helping people eat.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. If you could shoot a potato through a grate and then the potato grated into a frying pan.
Wow.
Like, okay. Let's create things with guns, not destroy them.
Exactly.
Hell yeah.
If guns ended in fresh French fries, you know, I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
100%.
Okay, everyone, favorite form of potato.
Oh. Go.
Ooh.
I mean, that's really impossible.
Hard question.
Lately, I'm going to say just baked potato with like all the shit on it.
I love a baked pea.
Seasoned curly fries.
Oh, shit. You had the frozen like Arby's curly fries from like the grocery store?
Oh, no. Shit. I didn't know Arby's was in stores.
I didn't know that existed.
Yes, it does. And they taste just like, you know, fucking straight from Arby's.
Wow.
And throw them in the air fryer because the air fryer is the best thing ever.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. Best invention of all time.
Especially for potato based foods.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come out so great.
I love that when you find in the grocery store just like restaurant foods that you're like, I can have this in my home.
So funny. It's like, don't even try to make your own potato fries. Arby's already won.
Yeah, like TGI Fridays has appetizers, like appetizer. Why? That's not
but
even
anytime.
A pun. Like, what?
I don't get it.
Yeah, because you can have them anytime and you don't have to go to TGI Fridays. I don't know. It's not a good
idea. Okay.
You know those moments at 4 a.m. when you want TGI Fridays appetizers.
That's actually depression. Yeah, accurate.
It's depression.
True.
It's depression.
Yeah.
Oh, that TGI Fridays has those. Don't they have the potato wedges? Or
yes. Yeah.
They're like half cup potatoes with like little bits of bacon on top. That's a good potato right there.
That is a good potato.
That's good. I feel like that's mini. Yeah, that's just basically
that's
mini baked.
Potato, yeah. Yes. Baked. Okay, I'm gonna say standard answer. I'm gonna say garlic fries.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love garlic fries with like whole garlic and like some parsley and Parmesan.
What kind of fry are you picturing though? Is this like a shoestring or is this like a wedge?
I'm particularly into the garlic fries at Dodger Stadium, which are like a pretty classic fry.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty classic.
Is that like
shape.
A shoestring though? Like a thin
it's
versus
not
a
white shoestring? I give it like.
Oh,
between.
I think it's thicker. Yeah. It's like a half inch or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Good old half incher.
Dude, last night I made gnocchi, no big deal. But like the cookbook,
big deal.
With that. Okay, but the cookbook was like really specific. It was like make them a half inch if you must make them 3/4 inch. So I like had to take out my like measuring tape and I'm like measuring these little dough balls.
I remember last time I tried to make pasta, I tried to make homemade ravioli and I don't have like a. Anything
a
to I haven't yeah I don't have a pasta roller either to make it thin enough so yeah. I thought I'd made it thin and I did not and I basically made empanadas. They were so thick. They were like gigantic
I mean that sounds like a good invention though empanadas. Like a ravioli empanada.
It was delicious. Yeah. It was great.
Just took a different direction, but
yeah.
Totally.
Wait, you guys. Speaking of like kind of random restaurant snacks, help me out here. What was the venue that served like a dessert ravioli? Does anyone else remember this? It was like a fast food place, and they had a dessert ravioli.
Oh my God, I don't know. I was saying I ate pancakes this morning and I feel sick right now, so I can't even think about a dessert ravioli.
Macaroni grill.
Oh,
macaroni grill.
Was it like a fried?
They would.
Like a fried?
Yeah. One? It's got like chocolate. No, they're good.
It sounds good. I ate way
You're
too much
too
sugar.
Full of sugar.
I feel
yeah.
sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
but
Brittany, when, sure you, when you guys are on the road with like as a band, do you, because when we tour as comics, we're just in a car, so we can kind of like do whatever. Can you guys like pull over and like try shit and like do fun stuff, or like is it like get to the next venue, got to go?
It's depends on like how far the next drive is. But luckily we were able to, we had some like longer drives for the Jeff tour. So we were able to like stop off at like a lot of the like scenic views.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's
cool. Which was really cool. And we were like trying to look up like other things like in the area that were like cool to stop at. So we did get to see like a few things. We went to the Red Rocks and they were like, you know, setting up for a show, but we were able to like be there in the Red Rocks and like it's beautiful. It's so cool there.
Did you get into any bodies of water in the Pacific Northwest? I feel like that's always like the goal.
No, we didn't, unfortunately.
Well, what the fuck? Next time.
Wow. I know.
Get in a lake or a river. I remember one time I was on tour with Dave Ross and it's much easier with just two of you in a car, but we like almost took the blow up mattress that we had with us and took it down the river.
Oh my God.
Decided against it at the last second, but yeah, I wish we would have, honestly.
we hit up some water slides though in nice. Like some of the hotels. There's like water slides in the hotels, which I never knew.
Is that like Wisconsin?
We went to the Dells and we had a day off in the Dells and we stayed at some like place that had like tree cabins that were like lifted up off the ground. Fun. Yeah, that you could stay in, but there was no bathroom in the cabins. You had to like share a bathroom with everybody else outside. So, but they had like a natural lagoon and like a cool water slide, and like it was basically Tim and I, because no one else likes to have fun, and and it was just Tim and I and like these little kids running around on the slides.
That's fun.
Hell yeah.
Has anyone ever gone off the super steep water slide? I've always been too scared.
I have. You should be scared.
What is it like?
Your body, or at least in my experience, my body like ceased it, like, to be touching up. The slide. Yeah, you're like kind of airborne. And then my experience was at Six Flags Hurricane Harbor, and their steepest slide, not only are you like airborne the entire time, but they don't have a proper like pool for you to finish your slide in. So the slide kind of just like turns into the sidewalk. And if you wear a 2-piece bathing suit, you're...
Oh, right up your asshole.
Up your asshole and both titties out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, that was on purpose. For sure.
Yeah. Now in retrospect, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a design flaw, but. Wow. Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Those always freaked me out way too much. I could not do it. Like, that is, you are just like wishing death upon yourself.
Yeah. And it feels like there's some kind of a like loophole. Like, it feels like they're not beholden to the same safety standards as like other amusement parks there.
Definitely not. The one hotel that I think it was in North Dakota we stayed at had this like crazy, I mean, it wasn't that big of a water slide, but you had to climb like a couple stairs, and then it was like we had to have been going like 75 miles an hour on this slide into the pool. And it was so fast that like you thought you were going to fly out of like the sides of it.
Yeah.
The way it just like propelled you. It was like there's no way that these are like up to code, and there's they're kind of like rusty.
Mm-hmm.
have you guys ever done an alpine slide?
Yeah. Oh,
what is that?
Or it's like a, I guess, I don't know if they're all called that, but there was called that in Salt Lake. It's like a fiberglass slide that you sit on a sled and you have like a brake and you kind of like go down it. But if you fall off, if you're going fast and you hit fiberglass, it literally like takes your skin off. It's how is this a thing? It's terrifying.
I know.
Yeah.
The thrill of terror and losing your skin.
And I know, like, it happened to me once, not to me, but in a group I was in, like one of the kids, it happened to. And it's just like, it's not. Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it's not. Slides are not. They're not for the easy people.
Did you hear about the Detroit Giant slide that people are going down? There's like this giant. There's just called the Giant Slide in Detroit, and I guess like it was definitely not built properly, and people are going down and just bumping like this and like hitting their heads, and they get to the end and they're just like, you see all these like kids just like holding their heads at the bottom.
Oh no.
It's like hilarious.
Yeah.
Hilarious, but it's so bad.
Yeah.
So
bad. It's like you gotta decommission that slide. People don't like the Coaster Tycoon, like, had some real lessons to teach us, I think, and people just took the wrong ones away.
Yeah. I can't believe that it's still, I mean, maybe they closed it off now, but I've seen so many videos that people put up of their friends just like getting beat to shit on this.
But of course you're still like, we're going to go down the slide.
We'll try it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember there's this in Six Flags, I think it's Great America. That's the one in Maryland or America, whatever, is there's a roller coaster called the Mind Eraser that Cal Ripken Jr. for whatever reason was like the face of for a long time. Oh, but then people
love that for his agent.
Oh yeah. But then people died on it, and he like very quickly stopping the face of it, and you cannot find, because there used to be this commercial that was like Mind Eraser, and the it would go through his eyeballs through his head, and you cannot find that commercial anywhere online because Kyle Ripken Jr. was like,
you really gotta make sure your roller coaster with your name on it isn't killing people before you endorse it.
Speaking of that, I think often about the fact that Disney put an animatronic Johnny Depp into Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, that man has been permanently ensconced into the annals of Disneyland.
I know. A sacred place. Depressing.
Pull him out. Get him out.
Also, I think every time you take that ride, they have that, like, the voiceover thing that's where somebody's
the
just...
Deadman.
Like, but they always would change it to the name of the current Pirates of the Caribbean movie. So he'd be like, and this one is Curse of the Black Pearl. Like, they would just update it, so you'd be, like, entranced into going and seeing a movie.
I will say, RE, Pirates of the Caribbean, to this day, one of my favorite restaurants in the world is the one that is inside Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you guys eaten there?
That's, it's supposed to be, like, hard to get into.
Well, that's Club 33, which is above it.
Oh, and, okay, right.
Yeah, and Club 33 is cool. I've been there once because my dad has, like, a cousin that works for Disney or something. Okay, real quick, Club 33 story. My parents got divorced when I was, like, 11, and my dad is, like, you guys know my dad. Like, I've been to raves with him, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a cool dad.
He's a cool dad.
Yeah,
and cool dad. Cool, you can imagine, like, cool dad, freshly divorced, no idea how to dress an 11-year-old, right? So we were going to Club 33, and my dad's like, you have to get a nice outfit because we're going to Club 33. And so I got this, like, jean mini skirt, a matching jean top, but it was, like, kind of a short skirt, and I felt, like, uncomfortable not wearing tights with it. So my dad's like, no problem, I'll get you tights. He got me thigh highs. And then I was like, okay, I can make this work. And I had him buy me some red high heels. So I'm 11 years old. I walk into Disneyland wearing, like, a super short skirt, thigh highs, and red high heels. And that's what I wore to Club 33.
Oh my. I'm surprised they didn't let you into the super secret dining room.
I know.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Yeah. Oh, so to love that outfit now, not at 11.
Oh my God, I was so embarrassed, and the shoes were so uncomfortable, and I was like, everything about it was just, oh man.
We're all just gonna think about that. We'll be right back.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Brittany.
And we're going to ask you some questions, Brittany, to get to know you better. It's called Who, What, When, Where, Why. Let's do it.
Who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, who, what, where, when, why?
If you guys wanted to do a ska cover of that, we would not be upset.
Any Carson songs, please.
Yeah.
You know what? We just might.
Ooh.
Yeah.
We like to do covers, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We also just did an intro, or it might be an outro version for Ian Fidance's new podcast.
Oh, cool.
Ian. So we're in the market.
So you're in the sweet space. Yeah. Love it.
Hell yeah. The other ska comedian out there. Yes,
exactly.
I love it. Okay. First question. Who is your ride or die?
As in like a human being or...
I guess it could be whatever.
Yeah, whatever that means to you.
These are all open to interpretation. So if it's a shirt or something,
whatever came to mind first.
Well, I would say my husband Tim, who is also in Catbite, the guitar player in Catbite, is probably my ride or die. But I would also say my best friend that I've known since the first grade. Her name is Lauren Ford, and yeah, I just remember becoming friends with her and just being like, damn, this girl's so cool and funny. And I just wanted to be around her all the time. So, and we still are. She's in New York. I don't see her that often anymore, but we're still very close. So I'd say the two of them are my ride or dies.
Hell yeah. Do you talk on the phone to her?
We talk on the phone and we text a lot. And I'll see her. We're playing in New York next weekend. So I'll see her then.
Hell yeah.
I love that.
I did a phone call with one of my friends that lives far away the other night, because I used to love talking on the phone, and I try to do it more because I never feel like doing it, but then I feel good after. And I talked to her for like 4 hours on the phone, like both of our phones died, and I was like, this is the best.
Yeah, that's like usually what happens when we talk on the phone. It always ends up being a long time, and inevitably one of our phones always dies. But we always, like, when growing up, we would talk on the phone forever. And it would just be like hours and hours. And I would use, like, when I first like got a cell phone, I would like use them all the minutes and then get in trouble. But yeah, I love her.
That's right, kids. We didn't always have unlimited minutes. Okay.
Not at all.
I saw a TikTok about this that I didn't know this was a thing. I'm so old right now, but like, people leave each other really long voice memos now.
Yeah. That's a thing.
Talking on the phone. So it's like somebody had like listening to my friend's voice memo like it's a podcast in the morning, where they're just like listening to it all morning while they're making breakfast and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I have some friends that do that. I love that.
Yeah.
I think that is fun. But I mean, it's not like a phone call, obviously, but it's still a fun like way to, you know, communicate.
It's good for like if you have a story to tell your friend that like is too long to text. And like you kind of want them to be able to hear like the intonations and the nuances. And
yeah, it definitely like spruces up, you know, a text message. But I have a friend who does that for like, for everything. Like, he's just constantly sending like voice memos of just what's going on throughout his day. He likes it.
It can be a much if it's everything. You're like, I'm not listening to your audiobook or whatever.
he says it's like his like daily journal. So I mean, that's cool, I guess.
I just love the idea of like a group chat that it's like nobody respond, but this is about me and it's my vlog. It's my vlog, my audio vlog that I'm just putting in the world.
Basically, special.
That's funny.
Okay, Brittany, what is your dream tour?
My dream tour would probably have to be with Paramore. Like one of my favorite bands that I still love listening to, and I just think it would be so fun.
That would be. Where would you want to go?
I think it'd be cool, just cool to do like a full U.S. tour with them. I feel like would be really, really awesome.
That would be
rad. Haley seems so cool. I would just love to know her as a person.
She does.
I agree.
This is making me think of, on the complete other side of like age, whatever type of music, my boyfriend's friend plays piano for Casey and the Sunshine Band
now.
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, how fun!
That's fun. Yeah,
I know, and we're gonna go, I guess they're playing with B-52s who are on their final tour ever.
Yes.
So we're going to go see them like in, I don't know, next month or something. And I was like,
That sounds so fun to see this.
It's gonna be an awesome show. I love that.
I know. Yeah, it'll be a... But it was just like, wow, what a cool gig. Like, holy shit.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's wild.
Yeah, my friend Ryland used to be the drummer in Real Big Fish, and now he's the drummer in America, the band, and he loves it because he plays half as many dates, and he like. Yeah. But the funny thing is, their old drummer was he had like a little old lady in every city that would just pick him up from the airport and then just take care of him and then drop him off at like the venue before the show. And now Ryland is just like with the band all day, and they're like, "You're." There's not supposed to be somebody else here. And he's like, I don't have a little old lady in every city. We're not used to your presence,
the drummer's presence.
Yeah, he's like, I'm sorry, I will make myself scarce. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have a black book for 40 years of touring.
That must be weird to like be in, yeah, because obviously these bands have been around forever, and I know they've changed members and stuff, but like you're kind of coming into like people who've known each other pretty well for a while, and that's gotta be a very weird feeling.
Yeah, just hope the vibes are right. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine if one of us like got replaced and you're just like, oh my god, okay, now we're just hanging out with a new person all the time.
I would hate that.
Yeah, but like you don't know that story. Okay, no. Weird. Oh yeah,
all of our weird shorthand.
Yeah. That's
okay,
so funny.
Okay, Brittany, where do you get your motivation?
I think a lot of my motivation probably comes from like the amount of times I've been told no, like in auditions, and like specifically I had a teacher when I lived in, I'm originally from Florida and I was going to school in Orlando, and I had a music teacher who was like, this was like the first day of class. And he was like, you know, none of you are going to be Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
Which like you probably, yes, correct, you're right, and probably none of us will ever be Britney Spears, but I think like to start, literally that was like the first words of the class of the like semester, and I'm like don't start it off with like such a negative.
Yeah,
yeah. Why are you squashing my dreams?
What's the point of that? Because
I don't know, like to you know, keep us humbled and like I don't know, like to keep us, I guess, thinking like realistically, I guess, like
that was definitely a bitter person.
Yeah. I think so. Cause like, I feel like, I mean, and I ended up really, really enjoying that class and like really liking that teacher. I don't know if that was just like a scare tactic for him, but, I don't know. That's something that's always stuck with me. And like, I just don't like being told something like I can't do something. So I think that's something that really motivates me to continue on. And also the fact that I really enjoy like singing and performing and writing music and creating. So I'm just going to keep doing it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spite will move ships.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good to have that in your back pocket.
Yeah.
I hate those kind of teachers. I had a professor that like a screenwriting professor that like on the first day was just like, maybe one of you will sell something, like just really bunch of bullshit. And it was like, okay, dude, just because he whatever. Yeah. Okay, cool. You sold a show in the 80s. Congratulations. That's fine. It's like 2003 where now you're teaching at Drexel. Go fuck yourself. Like,
Right. Yeah.
It's usually coming from their own like insecurities, but also I guess it's good because it's like, well, if you gave me that drive, then is it on purpose?
I think that's part of why they do it. Yeah, I remember having a screenwriting teacher tell us like, if you can do anything else with your life, do that. And I actually think that is good advice because it was like, well, I can't. Okay, like
right,
you know,
like, this is it. Yeah,
like it kind of separates you out, like because it is at least you know screenwriting and that kind of like it is a brutal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Constant chipping away of your dignity.
I had a guy.
It's fair though. Like, give the option of both, not just like immediately, you know, strike down someone's dreams or goals.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had a guy ask me recently, like, and we were taking, you know, a comedy class together, so it wasn't like that weird for him to ask, but he was like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, so many of my friends tell me I should start stand up. Like, do you think I should? And I was like, I mean, yeah, if you're willing to like literally dedicate your entire life to it, sure. I was like, but I wouldn't half-ass it, you know?
Right. It's so, a hustle all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to be, and like, you'll probably know that if you get into it, if that it's not, you know, whatever it is. But like, yeah, if you are like us, when you find that thing, it like, it's like, this is all I want. And like, you can't really replace that. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, it's not worth it if you're only going to half-ass it, because you're not going to get that much out of it, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, because if you're not good at it, it's not fun.
Yeah. It's like, what's the point if you're only going to like do show up half the time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I don't want you taking up space if you're not going to really do it, so go away.
Totally. Brittany, did you always like visualize yourself as like the lead singer of a band or as like a solo act? Or like, what did you like when you were in that class? Like, what did you think your music career was going to be like?
I wasn't quite sure, because I at that point just knew that I wanted to perform, but I didn't really know exactly what like genre or style I would do well in, I guess. I've always loved like soul, pop, R&B kind of stuff. So I definitely thought maybe I could be like in that type of band of some sort. And then like, I was also very into like pop punk and like emo and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like Paramore has always been one of my favorite bands. So that's always been like a dream of mine too, to be like a Hayley Williams and like be out front, but like have like a sick fucking band behind me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was, I think I really enjoy being, I can't picture myself doing like a solo thing.
Yeah.
Cause it feels like too many eyes on me, you know, like I like the performance and being in front, but I like having my friends with me who are also very talented musicians with me and get to experience it with me.
Yeah, exactly. There's like something really magical about just like making eye contact with somebody on stage, that it's like you've created for this energy in a room together too, you know,
for sure.
And then being like, hell yeah, we did this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important to have someone to get cheese sticks with after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Always. Do you guys have any like pre or post show like traditions as a band or anything?
We'll just do like vocal warm-ups in the green room, and then normally we'll each take like a swig of like tequila or something, just to kind of
loosen up
edge. Yeah, take the edge off. But and then we always do like a put all our hands in together like right before on stage, and we just scream like random things. Like, we did this show in Philly a couple weekends ago, and it was like an outdoor like festival thing, but the stage was really cool. There was a huge Ferris wheel directly behind the stage.
Oh, cool.
And so it was so cool. And like the lights were sick. Like at night, I got to see like pictures and stuff, and it just looked really cool. But we just were like, what do we yell? And we were just like, Ferris wheel. So that's something that we all do. That's a fun thing.
It's so funny, but like that is like the old school, like before a soccer game, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it like really does pump you up.
It does.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it does.
It does.
I did that with a bunch of comics after a comedy show recently, and I was like, this felt really good. I don't know why.
Yeah, we should do it more often. It's nice.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Okay, Brittany, in your opinion, what or when was the golden era of television?
Yes. I don't know. I think maybe like when did like Boy Meets, when was like the original Boy Meets World? Like
late 90s? Was, like,
I think late 90s. Yeah.
Late 90s. Mm-hmm. I loved that show. That's probably my favorite show. But also awesome. when they went into like high school and college, I think those years.
Those were your favorite years?
I think so. When like the Boy Meets World characters were in high school and college, I think.
Yeah. The college years are really great. Because then you get the Lawrence, what is that? Matt Lawrence is the Sean's older brother comes in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that show too. There was a while where like when I first moved out to LA that Boy Meets World was... It was on from like 7 to 10 a.m. on some channel that we got back when I had TV. And it was the perfect like getting ready in the morning to go to work, just like listening to Boy Meets World episodes in the background.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, I loved
They're doing a rewatch podcast, right? I think.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Topanga and some of the other.
Yeah. Yeah, Sean and Will. Yeah. or Sean, writer, not.
Yeah.
I'm just calling them by their kids.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing a picture of them and both, whatever, Sean and what they both, I was like, all right, they look good.
I was in love with Will Friedle for years. I thought he was so cute and funny and weird. He was my boy on
that
show.
That's the older brother, right?
Yeah.
I think Eric had a crush on him. Yeah.
There was good hair on that show.
I thought the other one was cuter though. Ryder Strong.
Yeah.
I thought he was cute.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the bad boy. Yeah.
There were all different flavors of crush.
Yeah. Well, Ryder Strong had that like skater boy haircut that I just was crazy for.
Love that.
That is like coming. That is like back now. Like kids have that haircut.
Yeah. The like swoop. The penis.
Yeah. The penis bowl. It really.
Yeah. Did anybody have a crush on Corey? Was anybody?
Well, no.
I know, right?
I think
people did.
I'm sure somebody out there did.
No, if people did for sure.
I definitely had a crush on, like, I thought he was really cute, like, personality. I mean,
yeah.
Like,
I had a friend crush. I mean, Brittany, it's really sweet that you're just trying to like make that work for Corey right now.
Ben Savage listens to the show and like we'd be mortal enemies.
He's running for West.
It's not the first time. He's heard worse, I'm sure.
Okay.
He's running for West Hollywood City Council right now.
Oh, is it? What?
Yeah.
He actually was like hanging out with my friend. He used to live out here. He would like show up to his parties randomly all the time.
Oh man!
Like
you know, his mom was my agent for a while.
Really,
Judy Savage. Yeah,
all these connections.
I know.
It's amazing.
So anyway, we're gonna tell him what you said, Brittany.
I know. I want Danielle Fischello in the show back. I remember when I moved out here and realized that Topanga Canyon was a thing because I'd never heard the word Topanga before. And I was like, what a weird name. And then when you move to LA, it's funny because then you realize that things are just named after stuff that you drive around and see. And you're like, oh, okay. That's not a word you made up.
Danielle Fischello's married to the cinnamon toast crunch shrimp guy. Do we remember?
Wait, why did he get canceled again?
Okay.
I forget about this.
This guy on Twitter claimed that he found shrimp in his Cinnamon Toast Crunch box and like tweeted about it and it went viral. And then people claimed, they were like, this is obviously not true. / this guy lies about shit all the time. / this guy's a creep. Mm. Like all this shit started coming out like about him. Yeah. And then everyone started being like, he's married to Topanga. And it was just
very internet.
You know, that's the scary thing about being married is your husband just like has a computer.
Yeah, he could. Sean could do
at any point
shrimp cinnamon toast crunch shit.
Yeah, and you know I'll take the fall.
Yeah, that's how that works.
Okay. Last question. This is a really important one. So this is the only one you have to get correct out of all of them.
I'm ready,
Brittany. Why don't they sell the proportional amount of chips to salsa?
I don't think the world will ever know. I think it's just like Big Corp's trying to ruin everybody's lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to buy more, I guess. You got to buy more to find it out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Continue to buy. So, it's so annoying. And then I also like my husband, Tim, gets mad at me because I put so much salsa on my chips.
Same.
That he's like the chip to salsa ratio. Like you have to leave some because there's not enough salsa. There's never enough salsa.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's not my fault.
No. And I want, frankly, I want to be able to salsa with reckless abandon.
Yeah. But I do put like way too much. It's like a lot.
Do you ever eat it just with a spoon?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
That sounds real good.
I guess it's just kind of like salsa. A gazpacho at that
point. It's gazpacho. Yeah, I mean, pico de gallo by itself is a salad.
Yeah, it's just
essentially
it's spicy bruschetta. It's great, which I love as well. Tomatoes in any capacity.
So good. Oh, I know.
We have so many tomatoes right now. For some reason, we just got. Oh well, we bought tomatoes at the store. And then there's like at the grocery store that we go to, there's like a section where they have like super on sale produce that's like about to go bad. So we got like more. They were like heirloom tomatoes that were like 99 cents. I'm like, we have to do that.
Yeah.
And then our friend and bandmate, Chris, his parents just got back. No, not from Portugal. Where did they get? They just gave us a bunch of like tomatoes from like their neighbor's garden or something. So now we just have like a huge
bag. You guys have excess. You better make a lot of salsa.
Better make.
Yeah.
I know. Well, and we're like leaving tomorrow morning. And I'm like, fuck. Like, where we have.
You know what you should do? Make some tomato sauces and freeze them in Tupperwares for when you get back.
Ah, that's a great idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. That's like the food equivalent of coming back to like a clean house.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like don't want to let them go to waste.
Yeah. No. 100%.
I was like, I'll check out that, you know, the like discount. Yeah. The discount area at the store. And it's not produce. Usually it's just like random other shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, and that's how I found out that Bang is making their own hard alcohol now, because it was on the discount shelf.
Oh, damn.
They're making Bang seltzers, Bang hard seltzers.
Wow. That's where that stuff usually starts. Sharts. It also sharts there as well.
Yeah, it sharts big time.
Yeah.
That's the real bang, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oof. All right. We'll be back in a second. Hey, everybody, we're back. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Brittany.
And Brittany's going to help us give some advice right now. If you want to leave us something, you can call us at 323-6-BUT-30. You can give us an email at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
And yeah, this one is written in, so let's see, read it. This one, it's a little bit long, so buckle up, y'all. Hi, ladies. I love your podcast, and you've been helping me get through these pandemic years as our country goes to shit. Thank you for being there. Anyway, my lady problem is about a neighbor. My husband and I just moved literally a week ago from the East Coast to a rural suburban town in Minnesota. If this town was a food, it would be white bread. All the neighbors have been almost too nice and welcoming. I'm a native New Yorker, so I grew up avoiding eye contact with everyone, so the degree of friendliness here has felt weird. Yesterday, I go to walk my dog in the early evening, and the route I take brings me back past my new house. I'm holding a full poop bag, but want to keep walking one more street before going home and don't want to keep holding the bag. So I very deliberately toss the bag halfway up my own driveway to put it in the trash when we get back in 10 minutes. There were some neighbors across the street hanging out, and I did think, I hope they realize this is my house and they'll see me come back for it. Well, I get a few houses down the street and a fucking golf cart with two adult cis men in it stop me. I thought maybe more overly friendly neighbors coming to say hi. But then one of the guys says, I think you dropped something back there. And he holds out my dog's poop bag. He said it in a way like he thought he was catching me and he was giddy about it. Like, ooh, I gotcha. So I said, yeah, I put it in front of my own house. I live there, so you can go put it back now. And instead of apologizing and going back to his boring life, he said, well, I didn't recognize you and I've seen people do that before. I was protecting my neighbor. I said, do I look like I do that? He said, well, I don't know you and I want my neighbors to do it for me. I was protecting the new people that just moved in. I said, yeah, that's me. We've been here literally a week. Is that how you treat your neighbors, by being aggressive like this? He replies, this was the least aggressive way I could have handled this. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. He said, well, would you let someone do that to my house? Wouldn't you want a neighbor to protect your property?
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Yeah.
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 He
has guns too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. This man is scary. He was acting like this was some grand property vandalism act. And I was just so stunned and said, no, you could have just left it alone and waited to see me come back in 10 minutes and put it away. Then you would have known it was my house. He says, well, I couldn't have known you were coming back, and I've seen people do that. At this point,
stop talking to me.
At this point, I'm super upset and say I need to walk away because I'm getting very anxious by this, and I can feel myself starting to have a panic attack. Then he says again, wouldn't you want someone to protect your property? If someone were to spray paint your front door, should I just let them do that? And I said, sir, that's a very different scenario than what just happened. He keeps repeating it, trying to defend his position. I call him out for being aggressive again. He pulls off in a huff in his stupid little golf cart and goes back to his house. I proceed to sob and have a full panic attack for the next few hours.
I'm sorry.
Ugh. The bag wasn't returned to my house, so I don't know where the fuck that is. Like, what do I do about this guy? Do I try to talk to him again? What if he claims I was the bitch here? I cannot imagine him apologizing, but I don't want beef with neighbors. He lives across the street from me. I've never felt so threatened and scared for my safety in the daylight. Of course, my husband was out of town, so I had literally no one nearby when this happened. I just moved here, and I want to leave already. He has tainted the whole neighborhood for me. I keep repeating this scenario in my head, wishing I said different things to this moldy vegetable of a man. Thank you, ladies. Sorry this is long. Any revenge plotting, Brandy would be helpful, too.
Wow, yeah. What a turd.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. Fucking annoying.
Like, he's a golf cart? Like, he's just on his little vigilante golf cart? Like,
fucking little loser.
Casing the neighborhood? Fuck you.
Yeah, he's like the neighborhood watch or something. I'll never understand. People are like that in Philly, too. Like, if I'm walking my dog and I'm walking by your garbage can and I have the poop and your garbage can is there, I just like throw it out. And then if someone sees me, they come up to you and they're like, is that your garbage can? I'm like, no,
but it's a garbage can.
It's garbage. It's a garbage can. Who gives a shit?
What does it matter? Is it your garbage can? Like, why does it matter?
Yeah. I just start saying yes. Just be like, yeah, I left it there for this purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have them placed all around the neighborhood in specific spots so I can throw my dog's poop out.
I'll never understand it. I mean, it's just that guy has like nothing to do, is miserable and like needs to be in charge for some reason. And I don't know. I would say probably like if you want to try and like talk to him again, maybe do that. But I don't think it's gonna like, I think that guy is like just a miserable old man. And
yeah
I don't think any talking to him is gonna do anything.
Yeah, it's not really gonna change anything probably. Mm-mm. So I feel like just like ignore him as best as you can. And like,
I say ice him out, become friends with everyone else, ignore him. He doesn't exist to you.
Yeah, right. I think that's the move too. I mean, it's like, because that's a person that's never going to apologize, is never going to see they've done anything wrong.
No.
Like, it's not worth it to talk to him and just try to make it like he should think you're a bitch. He should think you're an unfriendly person that he does not speak to. And fine, if your door does get spray painted, then he can tell all the other neighbors I told you so. But he won't feel like he can say that to you.
Well, and like, you're a New Yorker. You know that you can ignore your neighbors. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I have nice neighbors on one side of me that I never talk to them, you know, just because who has the time?
Yeah. I mean, you know,
truly,
this is a different situation from you, but you know, I've talked about like, I, you know, one of my neighbors is shitty. Like, we got into like I don't think I talked about it on the podcast, but we had kind of like a road rage thing where he like, I thought his car was going to hit me. He flipped me off and he was being a fucking asshole about it. And it sucked and it freaked me out. But like, we literally haven't interacted since, you know, like we just ignored each other. And it's just like, whatever, like this guy is just nothing to me at this point, you know?
Now.
I think that's like the best thing you can do. That way it just is like, go about your life. Forget he's even alive.
Yeah.
I mean, have an idea for a little...
Little revenge.
Easter egg.
A little spicy.
A little spice.
Okay.
You know those signs that are like so obnoxious? It's like, keep your dog, stop peeing off my lawn. And people like put them in. What if we have one made that is your dog peeing on a caricature of the old man? And keep your bullshit off my lawn.
I like that.
I like that. That's fun.
Or I like a more indirect like a sign that just says, please do not move dog poop bag. I live here.
Yeah. This is my dog poop bag. Yeah. Get personalized bags with like your address written on them or something.
Oh my God. That's sick. I love that.
If found, return.
I will say that the initial, this guy went way too far. The initial reaction, like I get very annoyed when people fucking put the dog poop. You know, people do leave them around. It is fucking annoying. It is. I would understand being like, hey, dude, like, this was your bag, fucking. And then I'd be so embarrassed if someone was like, actually, it was on my house. I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so fucking sorry. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think I would chase them down either. I'd probably just throw
it away. I'd just go take care of it. Yeah.
Or like maybe next time you see them, not get in your fucking golf cart and drive down the street to go let them know. But also the fact that he did that and like caused her to have like a panic attack.
Cool. It's so shitty. Shout out to one of our listeners made me a shirt because I have a horrible neighbor named Mark. They made me a shirt that said, Mark, you're a weird liar and I hate you.
Have you worn it yet?
I haven't worn it outside of the house, but there have been days where I've just worn it laying around. and that would be fun.
I mean, it's hard because it's like you don't want to engage with this dude. So
yeah. I mean, that's the hard thing. It's like this is the kind of person that like he's obviously bored and looking for an altercation of some kind. Mm-hmm. You could also kill him with kindness, literally, and just like bake him a lot of like fried things and just force feed him until he dies. That's a solution.
The long game.
I mean, if he's golf carting around anyway, I mean, I don't know. Just like the not walking down the street to like even just the golf cart
the
of it all
is really
I don't know why it's aggressive, but it is.
It is.
It is because it's because it zooms up to you.
Yeah.
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 That's the zoom. Yeah. Thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate that part. I hate the golf cart of it. And like he has silent. His like friend was with him, so it's like they talked. They were like together in on it. It's just all of it is shitty.
I would spray paint your door to say like I'm allowed to do what I want on my house.
Yeah, this is also a dude that like God forbid you do anything like interesting or fun on the outside of your house, he's gonna have a problem with it. So I would also like know your community guidelines, and if there are any, for like what you can and cannot do. Decorate for holidays in a way that you can but will upset this man to no end. That would be a really fun way of like getting back at him. I know that if you're not a skeleton fan, Home Depot does have a 12-foot witch this year.
Cute.
Yeah. So, and a werewolf. And,
you know,
there's
this
also
guy
werewolf
doesn't
too.
Sound like someone who loves empowered women, so I think the witch is the way to go.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think
I
that would be fun.
I did just invent something, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
A dick mystery, and it's a giant dick, but it's wrapped in Christmas lights, and there's a star at the
great
head.
Perfect.
I like
that. I'm just
trying
to think of what might offend him. I think maybe a giant dick.
Well, and I think like if you make it like just on the edge of it, like not like if you look at it, you know it's a dick, but you could also be like, "What? I don't see it." Like I think that
the star on top could be like a portrait, like a hand drawn portrait of him too. Oh, so like,
yeah,
you can't tell for sure that it's him, but
yeah. I like that. I think gaslighting is the way to go with this man. I think absolutely gaslight this man as much as possible at every point. You
know, hey, I've never slashed anyone's golf cart tires. But
he's got cameras. This is a ring. This is a ring household. This man,
big time ring.
Yeah,
household.
This is a ring man for
that
sure.
That is true, but maybe some well placed nails or something.
Yeah. That could be good. Yeah, I think. Yeah, this is definitely a big surveillance man for sure. Mm-hmm. But I do, I like fucking with him any way
also,
that you can within the law.
Like, you know that this guy's property he's protecting is some like gross McMansion that just like is fucking ugly and just like has carpeted bathrooms. And you're just like, what are you protecting even?
You're
protecting where you have diarrhea every morning so you can avoid talking to your wife. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, maybe. If he has a wife, maybe like if she, well, she's gonna suck too. I was like, maybe befriend the wife, there's no way she doesn't suck too. I don't know. Maybe, man. I also feel like when your husband is back, if he wants to just stare across the street at him like menacingly, drinking from the porch, like
I think
that's
some ice cold stares for sure.
Yeah,
nasty glances and any. That's the only interaction I would ever have with him again. Is just
And this is like a shitty sexist guy, so he's going to respond. You know that will also be like, ooh, he might take that more too. I don't know, but I think have fun with
but
it.
But I think like I know that it sucks that it's your new home and you feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't, you know, I would like, mm-hmm. it'll, the uncomfortableness will go away. You obviously get the height of it when you, I think, wrote this in. So
yeah.
Yeah.
It will get better, you know. Obviously, if it doesn't, that's something to think about. But you're gonna feel better soon, and this guy, you won't even like think about this guy again, probably.
Yeah, and like I don't know. I think my last two apartments before this place, within a week of me moving in, my car had been broken into at both places, and it's so hard to feel like violated in a new place. But
yeah.
that was the worst thing that happened at those places. And then it was like, okay, yeah, well,
you got the bad shit out of the way.
Yeah. I started to think of it that way. I was like, okay, the bad thing is done. I don't have to worry
about
the bad thing.
That's a good way to look at it. And like, it's not a reflection on your time here. And mm-hmm. don't let it taint the neighborhood.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
good luck.
We're sorry. Send us a picture of him on his golf cart and we'll draw. Yeah, we'll draw all over it and send it back to you.
Well, Brittany, thanks for hanging out with us. It was super fun.
Thank you so much. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Tell everybody where they can follow you online and follow the band and find you guys and your tour dates and all that stuff.
We've got everything. All the tour dates are on catbite.net. We've got our merch site on there too. And then we're on all the social medias, at Catbite Band. And, you can follow us on all the Twitters and TikToks and Instagrams on there.
Yeah. Music's up on Spotify and like your stuff is so, so good. I really love your stuff. The new album especially is like phenomenal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Our music, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp.
Yeah. Are you guys going to Fest this year?
We are.
Yeah. Okay. I'll be in Gainesville too. So any listeners in the Florida area, come hang out. I'll be.
Go see comedy and music at the.
Yeah.
Yes. I'll be so many buddies at the.
Yeah. I'll be skanking in the pit at the Catbite show. So come find me there.
See if you guys can find the pineapple I fucked last time I was
saying. I remember when you fucked the pineapple. That was a fun night.
No, I'm not an actual
Halloween.
Pineapple.
Brittany. Halloween costume.
Oh, yeah. No, it was Halloween. Sorry, it was Halloween.
Yeah.
Did you see my expression?
Yes.
And I'm just like so lazy fair about it. I'm like, yeah, she fucks pineapple.
I'm like, see if you can find it.
It's just been rolling around in town just thinking of a blissful night 3 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
All right, guys. Well, we'll talk to y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. Happy 10-year anniversary. Congratulations. Looking forward to, I don't know, however many more years. The first episode I ever listened to was one that I saw on my You Might Like These podcasts, and it was titled Cum Brulee, and that was gross. So I just had to figure out what the hell this podcast was, and I've been a big fan ever since. All right, congratulations. Bye-bye.
Hi, guys. I am listening to your most recent episode about barfing, and I'm dying because I have a story, too. And you definitely remember those kids from elementary school that puked everywhere because in kindergarten, this kid named Alfonso, we were reading time. It was reading time, and he, for some reason, puked all over this girl, like he was sitting in back of her, puked all over her dress. I remember it was like a pretty peach, like poofy, like princessy dress. And I still remember that to this day. And then there was another kid named Max in fifth grade. For some reason, both kids puked on people. I'm like, that's so disgusting. So Max barfed. He was like back to back. He, for some reason, barfed on the kid next to him all over his back. So disgusting. And then for me, I also remember people that pee in front of the whole class. In second grade, I can't remember his name, but he peed in front of the whole class. So yeah, you definitely remember those kids from elementary school that puked and ugh. disgusting. But yeah, anyways, love you ladies. Had to call in and tell you my gross story from elementary school. Love you. Bye.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine.
Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.